I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, Latinas in the U.S. riding from the heart all the way to the Mexican rodeo. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Bill.
The regular NFL officials have returned. They came back to a standing ovation on Thursday night, maybe given the dismay provoked by bad calls during the first 3 weeks of the season. Nobody's happier than the replacements at having been replaced.
Yeah, well, you know what? A scab is a scab, and I'm glad they're gone. And the consumer fraud is over, and now people can bet honestly on games, on officiating incompetence they can rely on.
On Thursday, Roger Goodell apologized to the league's fans. Did that surprise you?
A little bit, actually. And, I mean, it's not like he didn't owe them one, but I was a little bit surprised that there seems to be some bounds to the man's arrogance. So, yes, it did surprise me a little.
Among those who have not apologized is replacement ref Lance Easley, who blew the call at the end of Monday night's game. I wonder if that's because people in his line of work never apologize.
Yes, he's a vice president with Bank of America. And if those guys haven't apologized yet for wrecking the entire universe in 2008, what does one Monday night football game matter?
In other sports-related management labor news, the NHL has canceled the remaining preseason games, but at least they're talking, which they didn't do until December when the league locked the players out back in 2004. So should we be encouraged?
I think you should be encouraged a little. Respect for Gary Bettman's utter incompetence as a commissioner knows practically no bounds. So I'm not overly optimistic, but if the two sides are talking, that's better than nothing. Of course, it would be better off if some of the owners would shut up.
Detroit Red Wings Vice President Jimmy DiVolano referred to the locked-out players as cattle. Tell me he didn't immediately complain that those quoting him had taken what he said out of context.
Oh, no. Oh, absolutely not. This is exactly what he meant. And you fans in Detroit, by the way, this is what he thinks of you, too. You're just the cattle with the money.
Much is yet to be settled, of course, regarding the Major League Baseball season, Charlie, and I, for one, am rooting for Miguel Cabrera to do what no hitter has done since 1967, and that would be, of course, win the Triple Crown. Do you like his chances?
I think the home runs might be the hardest, because you will get pitcher on. You can sort of, I mean, he's way ahead in RBIs. I don't think anyone's going to catch him. And he can certainly win a batting title by slapping pitches the other way. But I don't think in the middle of what is still a demi-pennant race, anybody's going to give him anything he can hit into the stands. I think that might be the one. If anything stumps him, that might be it.
Josh Hamilton of the Rangers could derail that Triple Crown campaign by hitting more home runs than Cabrera. He's back in the Texas lineup now after missing five games because, quote, I couldn't control my eyes. They were stuck. What?
He had something called ocular keratitis, which is a drying of the cornea that you get if you drink too much caffeine and too many energy drinks. I had no idea about any of this. Of course, Josh Hamilton is a recovering drug addict and alcoholic, and he probably, you know, is overcompensating a little bit on the stuff he can do, which is caffeine and energy drinks. It also seems to have something to do with playing under the lights. But in any case, this is certainly an ailment that you didn't hear about back in the early days.
The Miami Marlins are in last place, and on Tuesday night they will be playing the New York Mets, who are in next to last place. Is there any reason to watch that game?
Yes, Adam Greenberg, who had one at-bat back in 2005 in the major leagues and was hit in the head and, you know, had one of those post-concussion problems where he, you know, had dizziness and severe headaches and double vision and never thought he'd get back to the major leagues, but the Marlins have offered him a one-day deal. So yes, he's going to go in. He's actually going to play against a knuckleballer, R.A. Dickey, which is probably the safest thing for him.
Yeah, and he's going to have an official at bat.
He will have one at bat, yeah. Exactly. Don't you think, by the way, that getting hit by a pitch should be an official at bat?
Of course it should be.
I mean, you've certainly earned one.
I'd like to direct your attention to the best headline of the week, Charlie. ESPN.com has declared, quote, NBA finalizing flopping procedures. So there will be particular procedures and people will be taught to flop properly.
Apparently the officials. Now, I give this to you, Bill, because you're the soccer guy and it's endemic in soccer, just as it is in basketball.
What?
Isn't every rule about flopping that you put in place designed to make flopping worse and not better? Isn't the human capacity for imagination in flopping almost limitless?
What happens when you have replacement refs? They flop.
Yeah, they fall down themselves, unfortunately.
Yeah. Charlie, it's sports statue time. Last weekend saw the dedication in Brockton, Massachusetts of a 20-foot-high Rocky Marciano. And soccer fans in Paris can now view a statue celebrating Zinedine Zidane, and I assume that statue portrays one of his more spectacular goals, right?
This is a great thing. No, of course not. It memorializes the low point in the history of French soccer, which is Zidane headbutting Marco Materazzi in the middle of the field because Materazzi said something about his mother or something.
Allegedly so.
And so there's this iron thing. Materazzi in the statue, by the way, is flopping in the statue. He's already reacting and falling over, even though Zidane's head has not hit him yet.
Mm, yeah.
So I think there's some subtle editorializing going on here myself.
Tuesday's Wall Street Journal featured a study that identifies so-called homers among baseball TV announcers. Yes. Were you surprised that White Sox broadcasters Ken Harrelson and Steve Stone not only won the competition but crushed the opposition?
They got 104 biased comments, and second place was the Indians with 23. And there were only, like, besides the White Sox, there were only five teams in double figures. What makes me more interested is the five teams for which biased comments were unavailable, which include the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers I could see because it's Vin Scully, and he's a legend, and nobody wants to point out that he might or may not be biased. But the Yankees and the Red Sox, really?
I can understand why.
Jerry Remy plays with a little green Wally ball doll during the game. Didn't he get you one?
No, the problem there was nobody wanted to listen to or watch the Red Sox.
That's a good point this year, actually. I think if you just showed up as the announcers for the Red Sox games this year, you can de facto not be a homer.
And finally, Charlie, here's an offer perfect for hunters planning to get married.
Sports!
Tell us about the dandy deal available to those folks at D. Geller & Son in Atlanta.
Well, Mike Geller said he got this idea after he saw a story about an offer at a Missouri car dealership, which would essentially give you a hunting rifle if you bought a car there. So Mike Geller, who's, as you pointed out, a jeweler, has told his customers that if you buy a diamond ring worth $2,499 or more, i.e., $2,500, you will get a voucher for a free hunting rifle. And isn't that exactly the other thing you want to wear down the aisle?
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places, and he joins me each week here on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.
She said, don't try to leave me, and don't you try to run, because Pappy's right behind you, and he's got a loaded gun. There's going to be a wedding, whether you agree or not, and if you try to get away, my darling, you'll get shot. Ew! Ah!